to the third round of our Mortal Kombat 2 tournament. This is Lindsay Mosley, Editor-in-Chief of Gaming Insurrection, and I'm joined by Associate Editor Jamie Mosley.
Hey, what's up?
Hello. We are running our third round, which is featuring winners and, well, actually, I think it's just losers bracket matches for Mortal Kombat 2, and this is the third one, because we have done two other ones that we started in January 2011, and so we're continuing on. We got a couple more matches, a couple more rounds to go before we're finished, but the third round is generally where the really important matches start happening, because you got to start working on that loser's bracket, which is always a joy. Because without working on that loser's bracket, you can't make the winner's bracket move forward too much now, can you? So, our tournament, just to give you a couple of reminders of how a tournament works, we are doing a double elimination tournament with the 12 characters of Mortal Kombat 2. And we're using Midway Arcade Treasures 2 on PlayStation 2 to record our matches. And what we do is we go through and he and I both pick sides, and we put them in a hat and drew names to determine the original order of the tournament. And then we use a bracket program to place the appropriate buys in the beginning and set up how we're going to do our tournament. So we've now been through two rounds and we've just done the third. So we also have video to go with this podcast, so watch the match video and let us know what you think, because we've got it on YouTube and we'll also have it on our actual hub site for this tournament. And as you can see, if you visit our website, which is where you're probably hearing this podcast, you'll see we have a big giant banner at the top of the page that says it's combat time. You'll hear from Mortal Kombat 2 tournament. I thought that was funny. So, so we're gonna get started. So, what do you think so far, James? What do you think about this tournament?
Well, the matchups have been a little odd. It is always kind of interesting when you have a tournament that is really just draw the hat. Who's gonna fight against what? And I always say that the loser brackets, for me, the loser brackets are always the most important, because the loser brackets consist of someone who's already been, they're really close to getting put out. All they need is one more loss and everything. And this is usually where all the stops come out. They're usually some kind of crazy scheme or crazy shenanigan that takes place that pops up and surprises everyone. So the loser bracket is always the most important to me.
Yeah, I have to agree. Loser's bracket is always important. And my intro for that I wrote, it says Gaming Insurrection staff, but I wrote the intro, was that, you know, everybody here in this particular matchup is facing elimination, because we are in the loser's bracket. So if they lose one more time, they out. I mean, they can't come back. They're not coming back. So somebody will be eliminated. I mean, there will be some eliminations, and it's going to be some people that you would think would go further in this tournament. Now, I have to throw in the fact that this is not necessarily an accurate depiction of the top tiers in Mortal Kombat 2. It's not necessarily an accurate depiction, because everybody plays that game differently. I've noticed that in the 16, 17 years I've been playing Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat 2 everyone tends to play that game differently. Especially with high level players. And I would consider us semi high level. I wouldn't necessarily say we're high level. Like, we're not, you know, pro competition kind of players, but we know a lot about the game and we play it well. So, I mean, it's not like we're we play it exactly the same. Even amongst, you know, between the two of us, we don't play it the same. But definitely we don't play it like everybody else plays it. So, just so y'all know, I mean, it's not like this is an accurate depiction. So don't be like, oh, well, you know, Sub-Zero, he didn't make it past, you know, round number 3. Well, you know, I think Sub-Zero's top tier in 2, so why didn't he, you know, why didn't he make it, you know, further than what he did? That's because we play a lot differently than, you know, say, if Ed Boon decided he wanted to sit down and play MK2 again. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not going to be like, oh, this is definite top tiers. We're going to pick them based on how we make that work.
Well, yeah, I mean, no one plays Mortal Kombat the same, and even people who call themselves experts can play against other experts, and those experts will say that they're not an expert in it. One of the things about Mortal Kombat that I love and hate is that any given day, even a beginner can completely beat down an expert. So, yes. It's kind of hard to say. So, the way things ended up is just how it ended up this time. If we were to do the same tournament in the same order, matches could change. I mean, the loser's brackets could be very different. The people in the loser's bracket now wouldn't be in the loser's bracket. I mean, it's really hard to say when it comes to Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. And also, like, the fact that, you know, Reptile has a very decent chance of going forward in this tournament. But Reptile's not necessarily top tier. As a matter of fact, Reptile is universally recognized as the lowest tier in Mortal Kombat 2. He wasn't very good in 2. He was slow. His moves you could see coming a mile away. I mean, he was just obvious. And so, I mean, he's universally recognized as not being the best character in the game. So that's why I'm like, you know, he could have a very high chance of moving forward in the tournament, depending on how either one of us play him when it comes to us playing him. So let's talk about, I have a chart that I did that shows where everyone is in terms of the tournament and where we stand. Now, I didn't do these names in this chart in any particular order. I just put them in the chart. So, right now, all right, Melina's 1-2. She didn't fight in round 3, because round 3 was loser's bracket that we worked on. So, and also I should point out, if there is an X, and I put this in the little description, that if a character has an X in its box, it means they did not fight in any of the matches for that round, in that particular round, because it's got the round across the top and the fighter down the side. So it shows chart of how they did in each round. Well, if they didn't fight in that particular round, then that means there's an X there. So Melina won her first 2 rounds, and she did not fight in round 3. Jax lost his first round, had a bye in the second round, and won his 3rd round match, which we will get to in a minute. And I should also say, the people who fought this round are Scorpion and Kung Lao, Liu Kang and Shang Tsung, Jax and Sub-Zero, and Raiden and Johnny Cage. So, Jax and Johnny Cage both won this round, and each had a loss and a bye in one of the other 2 rounds. Sub-Zero had a bye in the first round and lost his last 2 rounds, so he's out. Scorpion lost in his first round, had a bye in the second round, won in the 3rd round. Raiden lost his first round, had a bye in the second round, and lost in the 3rd round, so he's out as well. Same thing with Shang Tsung. He had a bye in the first round, but lost his last 2 rounds. So he's out. He is out. Baraka won his first 2 rounds, but didn't fight in the 3rd round. Reptile had a bye in the first round, won the 2nd round, and did not fight in the 3rd round. Kung Lao won his first round, but lost his last 2 rounds. So he too is out. Katana won her first 2 rounds and did not fight in the 3rd round, and Liu Kang lost his first round had a bye in the second round and won his third round. So, 4 of the 12 are already out, and we only have 3 rounds to go. So, let's get into the matches.
Yeah, well, first match, of course, was the Scorpion versus Kung Lao. It was interesting. I was Kung Lao. I wanted to use the dive kick as much as possible because I think it covers a lot of ground in a short amount of time. And it keeps me having this teleport where someone can uppercut the crap out of Kung Lao. I thought that I played aggressively with Kung Lao, but I didn't get hit by any spears. I remember thinking that no spears should hit me whatsoever. I don't want any spears and uppercuts because that's completely deadly on Scorpion's point. There were some tricky times where I did use a teleport and I paid for it. So, so that I felt bad about. I did, again, being the loser's bracket, I did switch up. I did some hat throws and I angled them in different spots. I thought that as a Kung Lao, I did some justice, but ultimately I didn't make it.
Well, see, Kung Lao always gives me problems playing against him, no matter who it is I'm playing with. Kung Lao always gives me problems because he's so, well, one, his hit zones are like crazy. So when he does a jump kick, it's like, what? That shouldn't hit me, but it did hit me anyway. So the thing about Scorpion, though, is you've got to utilize spear uppercut combos. If you can get that spear out and it sticks, that's gravy. I mean, you guarantee 25% damage right there. And you really want to go for the spear uppercut because that sets, I mean, even though that kind of pushes them away when they get uppercut, you've already done the damage. So psychologically, your opponent has to come back over to you. They feel they have to come back over and avenge that 25% damage loss. I mean, it's immediate. Excuse me. It's immediate 25% damage loss. So they already like, you know, I got to avenge this. I got to come back over here and I now have to make up this damage. How can I do that? So they're going to pull out everything they can against Scorpion. Because they know, especially in 2, it's 25% damage off the top. I mean, that's, That does a lot to your psyche when you're trying to win a match against Scorpion. And throwing the fact that teleporting is your friend with both Kung Lao and Scorpion. It's just that Kung Lao, it's so easy to punish Kung Lao if he whiffs a teleport. Even if he does a teleport kick and he comes up, you can nail him if you block it fast enough.
Well, the thing about Kung Lao is he doesn't necessarily have to whiff the uppercut, the teleport. You see him coming up off the ground when he hits, and you can uppercut his hat as he's coming out the ground. Yep. Even if he's doing a kick, the kick comes out late. So about time he gets up to do a kick, the person's already kneeling down to do an uppercut. It's just a mortal. And two, the computer uses it a lot. The teleport. The computer uses the teleport a lot with Kung Lao. And I always punish Kung Lao when the computer uses it.
Yes, I mean, do
there's
too.
Nothing else you can do about it. I mean, it's very obvious. With Scorpions, at least, if Scorpion is not, his back is not in the corner, his teleport comes out so fast, he can be on the other side of you. I mean, unless you're expecting it, it's a guaranteed hit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're in the middle of launching a projectile at Scorpion, first he's there, then he's gone. Kung Lao, if you're launching a projectile as he's teleporting, the projectile is probably going to hit Kung Lao because his feet are still on the screen as he's going off.
That's true. Yes. That's the thing about it. And I especially will punish the computer if they attempt to do if they try to do like a teleport, because they'll do it at the very beginning of the round sometimes. Sometimes they'll throw a hat, but mostly they'll try to teleport and come up on the other side. And I'm like, why would you do that? Uppercut. And so I notice I carry that over also to human players when I play against other people. Especially back in the day when I first learned that little bit of knowledge about Mortal Kombat 2. when I would go out and play against people, immediately, if you do that, I'm going to uppercut you, and then I'm going to jump over there, and I'm probably playing with Katana, so I'm probably going to jump over there, jump kick you, throw some fans, and then there's going to probably be a fan lift coming, because you're going to already be over near the corner, so I'm already setting you up, but you know what I mean, like, it's, with Kung Lao, it's so obvious that he's trying to do this teleport, and I'm like, no, stop it, you're going to be punished for it, so my problem was, even though I won with Scorpion in this particular match, in match number 9, I didn't utilize Scorpion's strength, and that is his, that spear uppercut. I mean, especially in 2, that's all Scorpion is about in 2, spear uppercut. And I did not utilize that as well as I should have. But Scorpion lives to fight another day, so it is important that he continue on. I'm just sad because Kung Lao is a fan favorite, and I expected Kung Lao to move on a lot further than he did. I really did. I was expecting to see him somewhere near the finals, but Kung Lao is out. I mean, he's let's say goodbye to the Shaolin monk because he's out. So, moving on, match number 10 was Liu Kang versus Shang Tsung. Now, for all you Mortal Kombat heads out there, you'll know this is a pivotal match in terms of storyline for the Mortal Kombat franchise. This has been done to death. It is the end of the first game. It's the it takes place at, probably at the end of the second game as well, but depending on if you're playing the new Mortal Kombat release, that may or may not have happened. Maybe. It possibly did. It may not have. At the end of the second game. It is also the end of the movie. The first movie. And in the Mortal Kombat Conquest TV show, it was also a really big deal. That, well, I'll take that back. That was Kung Lao. I'm sorry. That was Kung Lao in Mortal Kombat Conquest. I always want to say it's Liu Kang, but it's not. It's Kung Lao. And it's focusing on the great Kung Lao, so it's not even like the Kung Lao of 2. But yeah. I mean, needless to say, it's been done to death in Mortal Kombat. It's a big deal in Mortal Kombat. So, the fact that Liu Kang versus Shang Tsung is a big deal in Mortal Kombat. We knew that match could possibly come up in the tournament, and it did. So, I won this match. Liu Kang won. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not the greatest Liu Kang player in the world. And you got to, the thing about Liu Kang is you got to go for the openings. You cannot whiff moves. And yes, they do come out extremely fast, and a fireball trade is fine with Liu Kang versus Shang Tsung, but if Shang Tsung can morph into anybody else, which he can into, he is going to morph into someone that takes advantage of locking down Liu Kang so he can't do fireballs and all that. And the thing is, you gotta mix up the high-low fireball. You have to. You've got to mix that up to be successful with Liu Kang. Shang Tsung does not have a high-low fireball mix-up. He has a high fireball. He can shoot 1, 2, or 3 fireballs. But if he morphs into Liu Kang, that's a different story. Then he does have the high-low fireball. But Liu Kang can dismantle Shang Tsung when he wants to. And the thing here is, because I mixed up the high-low fireballs, something I don't normally do with Liu Kang, it gave me a slight advantage. A slight advantage. Not a whole lot, but a slight.
Well, with Shang Tsung, he does have low fireballs, but they come out the ground, so you obviously see him coming. And, of course, everyone has to be in range of it.
That's only a 3, though. Oh, yeah. With the low fireballs. See, he only has high fireballs in this one.
He has the higher one in this one, and he has the really, really fast fireballs that he can do.
Yes.
But the only way you can do low one, of course, is you have to morph into someone else to do it, and morphing takes time.
Yes.
And you have to plan ahead what you're going to morph to, and then you plan ahead what you're morphing to is because you already have a strategy how you're going to use. You don't morph into any character if you don't have a strategy, what you're going to do. Mm. As Shang Tsung, I withheld morphing for as long as I could and everything, and trying to come up with the best strategy. Because most people who play Liu Kang, they either extremely offensive or they're just slightly aggressive. That's the only thing. There's offensive and then there's aggressive. And yeah, I had to figure out which one you're playing. I bought into Katana because Katana is both defensive and she's more offensive than she is defensive, but a lot of her moves can be used as defensive. So I guess she's passive aggressive. She's passive aggressive.
She is.
So I did that, but then ultimately in the end, there's some ill-timed fireballs been launched by Shang Tsung. Hurt his chances, and he was put down again.
Well, also, the thing about Shang Tsung with his morphing is, and I've noticed this too, not only do you have to anticipate who you're going to morph into, you also have to anticipate the timing of how his morphs work so that you're not caught flat-footed when he morphs back into Shang Tsung. You know, like, you have to be careful of that. You have to pay attention and be like, okay, I know this morph lasts for 30 seconds. Well, not even 30 seconds of game time. It seems like it's 30 seconds of game time, but it's not. It's more like 15 seconds. Probably 10 to 15 seconds. So I've never quite exactly gotten the timing down for how long it takes, how long he keeps the morph and then morphs back. But you have to be cognizant of how long it takes to morph into somebody and make that work. And then how long it takes for him to morph back. Because then you got to switch back to your original strategy that you had with Shang Tsung. I mean, it's hard and it's pretty tricky, but that's the key to utilizing Shang Tsung and making him work, is using his morphs and knowing the timing of how all that works. So, and that is what I consider, actually I consider Shang Tsung to be an expert character, because by the point of you using Shang Tsung, you are probably an expert player. You can play everybody in the game pretty well. I mean, you know how to utilize strategy with them all and remember all the stuff that we're talking about. So, I would consider him to be expert level. And I've always, especially with morphing characters, and even in other games, like, they might not necessarily morph, but like in Soul Calibur, was Edge Master? I would consider him expert. Edge Master and Inferno, I would consider them expert characters, because you got to know how to play the game in order to do well with those characters. But definitely in Mortal Kombat, Shang Tsung is, I would think so. He's not top tier, but he's definitely considered expert level. So that means the morphing master is out. He is out of the tournament. So next match was match 11, and it is Jax versus Sub-Zero. Now, I won this match. I don't know how I did, but except that I know in the second round, I managed to trap Sub-Zero in the corner and just wailed on him. I managed to get him stuck in the corner, and I think I even got a backbreaker combo out. I managed to get a jump kick backbreaker to work. But it is imperative that you avoid being frozen constantly by Sub-Zero, because that is Sub-Zero's main deal. He is going to try to freeze you, because if he can freeze you and uppercut you, that too is about 25% life gone. The freeze doesn't do any damage to you, but it's the uppercut that you want to avoid. And if you're giving him a free hit, basically, you don't want it to be an uppercut. So the thing about Jax is, and I'm not even the best Jax player. Of the two of us, Jamie is the better Jax player, I think, by far. But Jax has got to get damage done. He has got to close the gap and do damage. And the thing about Jax is he can play keep away. He can play keep away with energy waves and ground pounds. Because ground pound comes out so fast in Mortal Kombat 2 that you can't really, if you're not paying attention, it will hit you. And you'll be like, how did I get hit by this? Like, this is crazy. But Jax is all about keep away and or extreme up close fighting. He's not a mid-range character. He either wants to stay away from you or he's going to get up on you and he's going to kill you. So that was what I was going for, was trying to either stay away and do keep away or get up on him, do backbreakers, gotcha grabs, throws, multi-throws, and just lock Sub-Zero down so he doesn't have time to freeze or throw ground freezes.
Well, I'm playing Mortal Kombat 2. I played against a lot of Jax. Everyone I played against, I remember playing against, everybody had to get up close for you. I also played against a lot of Sub-Zero, because I played Sub-Zero this time. I'm pretty sure everybody else who played Mortal Kombat 2 versus a Sub-Zero saw nothing but ice freeze coming towards them the whole entire time. They miss an ice freeze, they do another one.
Yeah.
If they miss that one, they jump kick and then try to do another one. I mean, that's all they did. Kind of like, you know, with Liu Kang, there was either a fireball or there was a flying kick coming your way. That's all they were doing. But I did notice that a lot of people who play Sub-Zero all the time don't throw ice freeze out there, but every so often. Instead, what they try to do is try to mix it up and do more of the ground freeze than anything else. And that's what I try to do here. I knew that Jax had to be up close, so I threw an ice freeze on the ground, you know, either to get him to back off or to set him up.
Yeah.
And a few times that worked, but one thing you always got to remember against Jax is the ground pound. You know, I always got to look out for his hand being raised up above his head and then it comes down. That's the way I see it. If his hand's raised above his head, there's one of two things. You're in trouble either way, but it's one of two things. You either just got uppercutted or he's about to do a ground pound. Either way, you're in the air. So,
yeah.
Being that I played a lot of Jax, I know that if someone jumps towards Jax and Jax get a jump kick off into a backbreaker, he can automatically do the ground pound. There's really nothing anybody can do about it. So that goes a huge portion of your life.
Yes.
So I try to stay away from doing that also. I guess the best way to play Sub-Zero is you'd be aggressive only if you got the person back in the corner. And I do not remember getting Jax in a corner whatsoever.
I got put in the corner, but I managed to escape with my life. And I turned it around and got you in a corner and just wailed on him. I mean, I just did all kinds of stuff to him, which was a good thing, because if I had stayed in the corner and hadn't done anything, that would have been Jax. That he just would have been done. He would have been done.
Yeah. Again, I didn't use that many ice freezes because, you know, everybody expects that. Everybody expects him to kneel down and hit with the ice freeze. Well, I like to kneel down is because I'm doing a slide. So, I guess it could be a great match because, again, the way Mortal Kombat 2 is, we've done this match again. It could have went another way.
Yeah.
But at this time, you know, Sub-Zero's he just got put out. The ninja got put out this time.
Yeah, he's out. The ninja, who is master of the cold, is out of the tournament, unfortunately. And I really expect to see Sub-Zero moving forward a little bit more in the tournament. Sub-Zero's not top tier in 2. He was in the first game, but he's definitely not in 2. I don't know if something they did to him. I don't know what it was they did to him between 1 and 2, but he was not top tier. Now, 3, that's a whole nother story. Sub-Zero is a whole nother tier by himself. And, you know, I've seen some magazines that are like, Sub-Zero's not top tier. I'm like, are you crazy? In 3? Yeah, that's more Sub-Zero, Sindel, Cyrax, and Cabal make up the top tier in that game. Everybody else is by themselves. And we talking about just regular 3. We ain't talking about Ultimate 3.
Well, it depends on which Mortal Kombat 3 they're playing. I mean, the Sub-Zero, well, he was top tier. And 3 was the one where, it, whether you blocked or not, yeah, he froze you.
He froze.
He's just by himself. I mean, it was no point even him to block. But yeah, if you're playing the one where they fixed that, then, no, he was not top tier whatsoever.
No, I mean, no, hold on now. I think that after, I think even with Revision 1.1, he was still top tier. We still saw lots of Sub-Zeros.
Because we saw lots of Sub-Zeros because everyone became accustomed to the fact that I can freeze you regardless. And, you know, he was a little different. He was a little faster. And his combo was easy to know. I mean, everybody knew the combo.
Yeah.
So, It was basically the every person's person play of that game. Where I guess you could tell the mentality had started changing on gameplay. Sub-Zero is the one anyone can just put your point in the arcade. You learn how to play really quick. 10-15 minutes top, you almost master him. Now, the strategies of using him was completely different. But knowing how to use his moves and link things together, you knew how to do that. You couldn't do that with Liu Kang, who they've always said was the everyday person, because his combos were completely out there.
The high punch block? Really?
It's not anything to do. But, that being said, once they fixed where no matter that Sub-Zero couldn't freeze, he couldn't do ice clone to anyone, whether they're blocked or not. His ice showers was great at it, help, although you could see him doing it. He just had to try to anticipate which one he was doing.
Well, my thing about that one is I didn't even bother doing it. And as a matter of fact, I didn't even use the ice showers because you could see it coming a mile away. But once they combined him with, like, if you play in 64, on 64 Trilogy, I had a nasty little pop-up combo with Sub-Zero where he did the pop-up, and then he does an ice shower. And then you can jump up and do other things to him. But that's the only time I even utilize ice showers, actually, was because otherwise you could just see it coming a mile away and people would just throw a fireball over there. Or they would, if they were playing with Sub-Zero, they would just throw a freeze over there. I mean, or they would just run over and hit the crap out of me anyway. Especially if you're playing with Nightwolf, all you gotta do is shoulder rush you. He cleared half the screen immediately with a shoulder rush. Or Cyrax would throw a net. You're doomed at that point. So, but the whole point here is I still think he was top tier in 3. Even after the revision, he was still top tier. But he was not top tier. Universally, he was recognized as not top tier in 2. He just wasn't. I was like, I don't know what y'all did to him, but this is terrible because I really like Sub-Zero. I like Sub-Zero. I like Scorpion better than I like Sub-Zero. But Sub-Zero should not have been neutered like that in 2. I mean, I don't even understand that. But anyway, say a little prayer for the fallen ice ninja there. So, moving on to match number 12, we have Raiden versus Johnny Cage. And this is our final match of round 3. Now, I feel I should explain this because I said in the intro that, in my written intro here, that we had behind the scenes brother drama Raiden versus Johnny Cage. Now, most of you Mortal Kombat heads don't give a damn about the fact that there was a lot of behind the scenes stuff going on with Mortal Kombat 2 and 3. The whole thing here is, there are some of us who paid attention to this kind of thing and could tell you all the actors' names who played all the characters in 1, 2, and 3 when they were still using real people to digitize all the moves and whatever. The thing about it is, Carlos Pacina plays Raiden. He is also still on the staff of NetherRealm Studios, which was the Mortal Kombat team back in the day, and they still are the Mortal Kombat team. But he is on, he is still on staff as an artist. He's employed as an artist. But he did the digitizing for Raiden in all the games of which Raiden appeared as a playable character. Up to 4. He was not in 3. Because there was, we're going to get to why he wasn't in 3. But Daniel Pacina, who is Carlos Pacina's brother, played Johnny Cage. He was the bassist for Johnny Cage. Okay. He also played Scorpion, Sub-Zero, Reptile, Ermac, Noob Saibot. Who else? Smoke. Yeah, he played Smoke too. He played all these characters and subsequently sued Midway because he was like, I should be getting paid for all of this. And I should be getting paid for more than just one character. Because he felt like they were different characters, so he should be getting paid for them instead of just being paid for like two base characters or whatever. So he was kind of upset about that. And then he and Carlos Pacina went and helped make the Theo Realm Fighters game, which was terrible and was never even released. And he showed up in print ads wearing the Scorpion costume. So Midway fired him, and that is why Johnny Cage is supposedly dead in the original MK3. Not in this new MK storyline. They've changed that. In the new Mortal Kombat game storyline, they've changed the fact that Johnny Cage dies or whatever. But here in point, that is why I say it was behind the scenes drama, because there was a lot of drama going on. As punishment, Carlos Pacina could not play Raiden. They wouldn't let him play Raiden, and that is why Raiden is not in 3 either. You would think that that would be the game that Raiden was in. Now, he does appear in MK Trilogy. That is because they used a different actor to do Johnny Cage in MK Trilogy, and they reused the sprite for Carlos Pacina. They reused that sprite from like 1 and 2, so that's how they got around doing that. But yeah, that was weird. So that's why I was like, it's behind the scenes drama. But there was no drama here. There was no drama here. Unfortunately, Raiden did not win his match. Raiden lost. And thus, Raiden is out. Because even though Raiden put up a valiant fight against Johnny Cage, Johnny Cage is the man in 2. And I didn't like Johnny Cage at first when I first started playing MK2. I just didn't like him. I didn't like him in 1, but I could see how Johnny Cage was crucial to 1 storyline. But I do not like Johnny Cage all that much at first, but I do now. I do like him now, and I see his worth and his value. Johnny Cage was too much brute force strength against Raiden. Raiden does a lot of damage in 2. It's just Raiden's kind of slow, and you can see that teleport coming a mile away. So, I mean, people can, you get hurt. I mean, trying to teleport Raiden.
Well, Raiden's teleport is obvious, but it's not as obvious as, say, you know, Kung Lao. If you're in the middle of, if a person you're fighting against, I was playing a Raiden, and you're in the middle, like, say, Wild was as Johnny Cage, going to do a shadow kick and Raiden teleports, then you're pretty much left open. Because Raiden can just teleport behind you then, and then do the nice Superman from behind, and Johnny Cage have no idea, never even looks back to see it coming.
Nope.
So that, I'll say, is a plus. The difference is, once Raiden is up close, only thing he really do is just keeps punching you. I mean, that's pretty much the only thing he can do. The disadvantage here was he's up close, he keeps punching. But with Johnny Cage, he can instantly go down for a groin punch.
Yes.
Which is why I think that personally made Johnny Cage more popular, because everybody, for some reason, during that time, liked to see guys get punched in the groin, especially if it's done in style with a split. So, Johnny Cage would do the split punch Raiden in the groin. Being a god of thunder, I'm not really sure how he would feel it, but he felt it, and he bends over.
Well, my thing with Raiden being the god of thunder and how he's feeling all these moves, I asked the exact same question very early on, because I was like, But he a god. Shouldn't he not feel this stuff? How are they killing him? When you do a finishing move, how are you killing him? But they tell you very early on in the very first game, you got to read the manual for this, that he assumes a human form and thus is able to be hurt by certain things. He can be hurt by moves and stuff. And he can be killed in a human form. He just wouldn't, he ain't gonna like cease to exist or whatever if he like if he were human or whatever and you kill him. Nah, he ain't gonna like just stop being Raiden. No, he just dies in a human form and then he goes back up to the, what's the little place called? Where the gods are in not in the Nether Room. I always want to call it Nether Room. Not in the Nether Room, but wherever the gods sit in Mortal Kombat. He just goes there. That's all.
And then he comes back.
Yeah, and then he just comes back. He might can come back. It might take him a little while, but he can come back.
Yeah. But anyway, as I was saying, so you punch him. He goes down. You do a standing, I mean, you just, Johnny Cage gets up, and you can do a standing high kick. And it pops up in the air, because Johnny Cage do this nice lifting axe kick.
Yeah.
And then you can just do a shadow kick. That combo pretty much hurts anybody. In fact, even the female ninjas, that he wasn't do the split, he won't do the split and everything, but if you get the high kick off and the shadow kick, I mean, it still does a lot of damage.
And that shadow kick comes out so fast. That was part of the problem with Raiden, is that, I mean, the shadow kicks were just hitting me in the chest constantly.
Well, what you gotta do with Johnny Cage is everyone expects shadow kicks to come out in Johnny Cage. I mean, if you played Mortal Kombat, once you played against Johnny Cage, that's usually the first thing someone tries to do. Open up. They either open up with a shadow kick or they jump kick and then try to shadow kick. So what I learned is I try to throw the shadow kick out at the most inopportune times ever. Someone's getting up from the ground for doing an uppercut and everything. I uppercut someone. They're like, oh, he's got to cover distance, so he's going to shadow kick me. I just walk over there. So I walk over there, and then when I'm like up close and personal, and we nose to nose and everything, then I'll try to do a shadow kick because you won't expect it that close.
Now, you wouldn't expect it that close, and it seems to hurt more. I don't know. I don't think it does more damage because you're up close, but it just seems to hurt more.
Yeah, so that was, I guess that was the key. Is trying to figure out when the best time to do the shadow kick, and I've come to figure out with Johnny Cage, the best time to do the shadow kick is, unless you're playing against a computer, up close. If you're playing against a computer, they know you're going to do it before you do it, so they're already ducking down when the shadow kick comes up so they can uppercut you.
Yes.
But, that being said, they won't uppercut you, or I guess Johnny Cage is invulnerable to the uppercut until it gets close to the end when he's about to stop. So, I've tried to uppercut Johnny Cage while he's in the middle of his shadow kick and still got hit by it. So I guess the best thing to say is near the end is where he's gonna actually hit. So I think he's invulnerable to physical. Well, I wouldn't say physical damage. You know, non-projectile attacks.
Yes. Also, I'm gonna tell you. Also, the computer, especially Shang Tsung, you can try to shadow kick him. They'll foot sweep you and then throw you.
Yes. That they will. So, I guess that's the only thing I could say. That was my only tactic to use with Johnny Cage was to get up close, throw out a random shadow kick, which I did lots of random shadow kicks. Some were blocked, but some of them, it was obvious you had no idea that was coming.
No. I was like, what do you mean? Oh, shadow kick.
So, I think that was the only way that helped Johnny Cage advance.
Yeah, I think Johnny Cage is grossly underrated by some folks. And he's not considered top tier, and he isn't. I would say he's mid tier. Definitely mid tier in the game. But I mean, he's not a bad character at all.
He's not top tier because they didn't give him moves that would damage everyone. He does have a few moves that, you know, damage everyone, but the one move that he needs is always a highlight, punching someone in the groin. No matter if you male or female, animal, bear, anything, punching in the groin is going to hurt. So I think what they should have did is made that move hit on everybody.
Well, it does in later games, if you'll notice.
It does. And that completely helped Johnny Cage out for the rest of his game. But other than that, when he did that, I think if they gave him the groin punch to affect everyone, he probably would have been a much higher tier than he was. So, I mean, because getting hit in the groin, granted, you know, you have to try to set someone up for it, but this game being that a lot of people have to play up close, it's been a lot easier to punch someone in the groin, do a standing high kick, then a shuttle kick to do a lot of damage. So, that pretty much hurt Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat 2, but didn't hurt him in this round.
No, it did not. He moves on, as so are we. So, we've got, that's the end of our match analysis, and now we're at our, we're near the end of our podcast here, but we're going to talk a little bit about our tournament brackets. We have a couple of upcoming matches. We have four for round four. And in our winner's bracket match, we have the classic matchup of Katana versus Melina. This is going to be epic. This is going to be epic. When these gals get to fighting, stuff happens. Especially since they're going to be played by their respective best players. Katana, by far, is my best player. I mean, she's my best character. She's my absolute best character. Melina is a close second. As a matter of fact, I venture to say Melina is probably my second best character in Mortal Kombat 2. So, the fact that we're going to have this, I mean, this is going to be ridiculous. Melina is Jamie's best character. I would say so. You play very well with Melina. I mean, very well.
I wouldn't say she's my best character. It's because I fought against her a lot. I know what to expect and what will work. But I wouldn't say she's my best character. I know how to be extremely aggressive, and I usually don't think about hitting the block button when I play with her, because most people I played against never
hit the block button.
They never touched the block button. So, I don't know. I mean, that'll be interesting to see how that works out. But I'll give it my good shot.
All right. Well, I'm expecting big things from this match. Big things. Also in the winner's bracket, our other match is Baraka versus Reptile. Now, neither one of these characters are considered top tier. Obviously, we've already talked about Reptile, but Baraka is not considered top tier. He's considered more lower tier. But the thing about Baraka, and we've said this before, because Baraka's already had a couple matches, Baraka can be deadly when he wants to be. He has won both of his matches so far that he's had in the winner's bracket. He has won them, and won them very well. So, I mean, he can be deadly when he wants to be. I don't understand that. His hit zone with his jump kick is like Kung Lao's. It's crazy looking. So, people normally don't expect him to do that. And also, his jump punch is kind of strange, too. But, it's the blade. What you always want to pay attention to with Baraka is the blades. Because if he can get up on you and you are not blocking, he's going to do a blade fury. And you will be hurt. And it will come out very fast. It will come out very, very fast. And it does a lot of damage. So, that's what I'm expecting from this match. And I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised with this match. With Baraka versus Reptile. And Reptile, despite not being, you know, the greatest character in the world, he can be, he also, if in the right hands, can be taken seriously. He can do some damage. So, I'm expecting good things out of that one. Moving over to the loser's bracket, we have two more matches we can do in the loser's bracket, and that will be Scorpion versus Liu Kang and Jax versus Johnny Cage. Now, if any of these people lose, that's it. They out. You can just go on and say they are out. They are O-U-T out. They will not be in the tournament after this. So, this is do or die elimination time again, much like this round's loser bracket matchups. This is do or die. You're either going to succeed or you're going to fail. or what's that you say? Or die trying.
Yeah, well, I see some interesting things with Scorpion and Liu Kang that Mr. Completely Offensive against Mr. Sometimes Defensive That should be some interesting matches going on with that. Being offensive, being Liu Kang, and sometime defensive, it'd be Scorpion.
Yes. I knew what you meant as soon as you said that.
The Jackson-Johnny Cage, that should be an extremely interesting match, since I was just saying that Johnny Cage, I'm sorry, Jax is extremely in-your-face kind of person, and Johnny Cage likes people to be in his face. So yes. I think that'll be a great matchup. Because one of the things I remember most is, although Johnny Cage has that nice split punch, Jax can also grab you out of that split punch.
Yep.
So that should be extremely, extremely interesting.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, they're both, you need, both of them need to be up on somebody to really do their worst against them. And that's going to be, I think that's going to be definite. That's going to be a bruising match because somebody's going to get hurt there.
It's Mortal Kombat. Everybody's going to get hurt.
Always. But, I mean, definitely, like, I expect to see some high damage combos coming out of that. So, well, folks, that wraps up our podcast for this quarter and for this round. Keep an eye out for our next couple of rounds. We've got three more rounds to go. The finals being round number 6. And, I mean, there are going to be some surprises. I'm fairly certain there are going to be some surprises. And there are going to be some obvious ones going on there who will show up near the end. But definitely keep an eye out for our next couple of matches. And follow us. We're trying to do our videos and put them up on YouTube and show y'all exactly what we're talking about with our match analysis. So I think this is shaping up to be a pretty good tournament. How about you?
Yeah, it seems to be pretty good. Some interesting things have been coming out. Some things I've had to analyze about myself and say, you know, that combo used to work all the time. It don't work now. I wonder why. What's going on with that? I don't see. Oh well, I'll just move on. But I think this tournament has opened up a lot of eyes on. Although experts say this is what works all the time, again, those experts don't go around to different places to see how different people play. Yeah. They only, you know, they look at like three people playing constantly and it's, oh, this is must be going on all around the world.
In California and Chicago at the time.
Yeah, so there's like, oh, this is what happens all over. Everybody's got to be playing the same people this way. So I think a lot of times they have no idea. But again, I must say, with Mortal Kombat 2, you can play 2 zillion matches. And out of those 2 zillion matches on that day, you might have a winner each time. 3 weeks later, you play 2 more zillion matches, and it might be a completely different winner.
Yes.
So, that's all I can say about this one. But so far, it seemed to be shaping up pretty good.
Yeah. So, we're at the halfway point. We will continue the tournament, and we will continue to have podcasts with this. Check us out at GamingInsurrection.com. And look for us on YouTube. We're Gaming Insurrection on YouTube. Just search for our videos. We appreciate you listening. Let us know what you think. Drop us a line on Twitter. We're Gaming Insurrect on Twitter. And we are on, we have our email. You can email me at editor@gaminginsurrection.com. And you can also drop us a line at on our YouTube videos and let us know what you think. We'll respond to your comments. That being said, thanks for listening, y'all.
Outstanding.